Good evening and welcome to Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and tonight we've got an old friend. It's taken 5 years to get him in the studio, but we've got him. Mr. Joe Winters, he is the co-founder and drummer of the regional-based, internationally famous blues rock group Steepwater Band, and he's visiting tonight. We're going to talk about the group's 20th anniversary show coming up this weekend, and he's got some really, really, really big news about an artist they'll be sharing the stage with in April. We're going to talk about all sorts of things and play music from the Steepwater Band catalog. It's all coming up in just a few minutes after your headlines here on Lakeshore Public Radio. Good evening and welcome to Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Tom Lounges. This is Midwest Beat, a show all about music and the people who make it. Thank you for supporting public radio and tuning in. Tonight, we've got an old friend of mine, Joe Winters. I've literally watched this guy grow up in the music business right out of high school. He had a band, used to play the jam nights and hang out. Well, tonight he's got some great news about one of the biggest names in rock and roll that they'll be rubbing elbows with. And Joey, welcome.
Thanks, Tom. How are you?
I'm fine, man. You have done so remarkably well. You were telling me today that it's your 20th anniversary this weekend as a band.
Yeah, yeah. 1998, the band started in St. John. Well, we started on the south side of Chicago, but yeah, then we moved into a house in St. John, Indiana, and started writing songs and recording music and touring, getting gigs, and just never really looked back. So 20 years this year.
You have made me feel really old today. You really have. As I said, I mean, you guys were right out of high school when you first started playing at Club Dimension when I was working there with Mad World back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. Todd, our bass player, and myself, we had a band here right in the region called Mad World with
Nevada.
A couple of other buddies, Nevada and Robbie, and we used to play at the old Club D's. Back in the day, you'd be in the DJ booth, and we'd be just trying to get our tunes heard just like... like any time, you know.
And now you're heard. You've got 6 studio albums under your belt, a couple of live albums, the last one especially good. You've got some EPs that are out there. You've got singles. You've played around the world. Looking back 20 years, what are your thoughts? Did you think we'd be sitting here all these years later, the two guys from Club D, and you'd be telling me about your world travels?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I get home from doing 6 weeks in Europe or something, and I just sometimes I look at it and I go, I just can't even believe that we're doing it still. You know, I don't know. Like you don't really think about it while you're doing it. You kind of get like lost in it or something. Mm-hmm. Like time moves really slow and really fast at the same time, if that makes any sense. But while you're in it and you're on the road and you're playing shows, you don't really. You know, you don't really think about what it is until you get home, and then it'll hit you like later on, and you'll be like, wow, I can't believe we're doing this. We just went all the way to, you know, we were just in Poland, and some people from Russia came to see us play, and
there was no collusion involved, folks, no collusion involved. But, I mean, you've come a long way, and your latest album... that is out. Now we're going to play a cut from it. Actually, we're going to play the title track, which is Shake Your Faith. This came out in 2016, and you guys have something perhaps new in the works that we're going to talk a little bit about, at least maybe some Target stuff you're talking about. 6 albums. This is the latest. This is Shake Your Faith by the Steepwater Band. More with Joe Winters when we return.
Into a battle in a
You've locked it on the dial at 89.1 FM Lakeshore Public Radio. We are bluesing it up, rocking it up, and bringing it home with Steepwater Band, a band out of the region back in the day, celebrating 20 years together. Six albums out under their belt as far as studio releases. That's the title track of their latest, Shake Your Faith. And Joey Winters, drummer, co-founder of the band, is with us. Joe, I got to tell you, I never get tired of your music, and the albums consistently get better. And considering you started at a really high place with a high bar, that says a lot. What keeps the magic happening?
You know, I'm not really sure, except for you never feel like you've said what you have to say. It seems like there's always something, some new sound, some new direction, something new that you are pursuing. And it seems like you're right. I think as long as the records get better every time we make one, then it makes you be inspired to want to make another one.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you first started out, we used to call you the Steepwater Blues Band. Now, I don't know if that was ever official or not, but that's how I used to refer to you. Now, you have a lot of blues in there. There's no denying it. But also, you're a jam band, and you're a rock band, and you've got some heaviness and some psychedelia in there. How do you describe what you do? You're able to play with everybody, and we're going to talk about some of the groups that you have played with in the past and someone you're going to be playing with soon. But how would you describe what it is you do?
Well, I think it's just a culmination of all our influences, and we're all into a diverse amount of stuff that we grew up listening to. So it just depends on, like, what mood you're in. I don't know. Our favorite bands are, like, the Beatles, the Stones, Led Zeppelin, groups that I think didn't have boundaries, that mm-hmm. that started from maybe a bluesy place and developed into, like, all these other sounds that you said, like psychedelic
rock.
And
you guys are doing the same thing,
and
following those footsteps.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is, that we're okay. all so rooted in those groups and the way those groups progressed, that maybe that's just natural for us to progress in the same sort of fashion, I guess.
I think the first albums, the Going Back Home EP and Brother to the Snake, had a real Black Crowes kind of sound, a London Choir Boys kind of sound, and some Zeppelin in there, which I think was Jeff's input on that. But now you guys are literally all over the spectrum, and yet it's cohesive. How do you keep it from running amok? As far as you guys are all have input, you worked with a variety of famous producers. What's it like in the studio when you guys are making a record? Do you, like, beat each other up and say that song's not good enough, this song's going to be in? I mean, how does it work? You write prolifically, all of you guys.
Yeah, well, we just try not to limit anybody's ideas. If people have something to say, something to contribute, then they do, and everything is, like, considered when we go to write. And, mm-hmm. yeah, that's hard to keep it from running amok, I suppose. But
'cause it's cohesive. But it's
it
not...
somehow comes out sounding like us. Yeah. I don't know how else to explain it, because, like you said, it kind of started out as a blues band that decided it wanted to write songs. And so we started writing songs and not really putting a tag on what, like, a genre on what those songs were. Mm-hmm. And somehow it finds its sound to be a sound of the Steepwater Band. But I don't really, I otherwise can't really explain it. That's that magic, elusive thing that you can't really put your finger on.
Now, one of the things that's unique about you guys is that so many bands come and go, members come in, members go out, even on a local level. You and Todd have been together since high school. You teamed up with Jeff a little over 20 years ago. You are now formally a band of 20 years of running. You recently, I shouldn't say recently, but the most recent guy is Eric Saylors. He's been with you a long time. But the core three have been together 20 years.
Yeah.
Eric fit right in like another hand in glove. What is it that makes you guys work together so well when other bands can't even be in the same room together and be this creative?
I think we respect and appreciate each other very much, and have for a long time, since day one. And that's it. We respect, love, and appreciate each other a lot. And I think it goes a long way when it comes to working together and riding in a van for countless hours mm-hmm. and living together for a period of time and trying to get somewhere doing music. It's that common bond that we share, trying to really get somewhere doing music, you know?
Well, we heard a song, Shake Your Faith, is one of the newest songs you've done, and that's off the album from 2016. Let's go back and play just a little bit of Heart of Stone, which I remember from Brother to the Snake, one of the first official full-length album back in 2001. This is a slightly different version, though?
Yeah, this is recorded in 2014 or 15. Okay. We did a best of for a record label out in Ohio, and they wanted to record two new songs. And so we re-recorded this because it's a fan favorite, a live favorite, one that we play very often, and probably one of the first songs we ever wrote.
So this goes back to show you we just did the latest. Now we're going to go back and do one of the earliest with a newly recorded version. We'll be back with Joe Winters after this, Heart of Stone. As Stone. That's going back to 2001. Brother to the Snake is when it was written. That's a newly re-recorded version, but it shows the development, the progress, the evolution of the Steepwater Band, a group that formed right here in Northwest Indiana / Chicago and still going strong. Joe Winters, drummer, co-founder, is with us. Joe, we're talking about this evolution of the band. We're talking about 20 years together. In that time, you have played an awful lot of shows. Since this last album came out, Shake Your Faith, you estimated 300 live dates.
Yeah.
That's crazy busy.
Yeah, crazy busy. and over 2,500, I bet, lifetime. Probably wow. Over 2,500 shows.
Now, total. We've got, I just got a text here from our program director, Tom Maloney, and he says a guy named Vim is listening in the Netherlands. Now, who is Vim?
Ah, Weebo.
Weebo, okay.
Yeah, the Weebo, he's our tour manager in Europe when we're over there playing.
It's got to be middle of the night there.
Yeah, I think it's like 2 a.m., so he had to stay up for this, but I think he was excited to check it out, check your show out, listen to me and see what's going on over here in the old Northwest Indiana area.
Well, let's talk about Europe. You just got back from there. You played Europe proper, Western Europe. You've also played Eastern Europe. You mentioned Poland, and I think you played like the Czech Republic or some of those places too. I get very confused, geographically speaking, when you start talking about Eastern Europe because they seem to be changing borders all the time over there.
Sure.
What was it like to be a Northwest Indiana kid going to Europe as a performer, and then with all the cultures in the European countries, they're the size of states here, but every culture is unique, and everyone has different sounds, different styles. To be able to travel the continent as you have, what kind of audiences did you find? Did you find a lot of difference between Europe and the states, and even Western Europe and Eastern Europe?
Well, there is difference. For one, in Europe in general, they seem to have a really high appreciation for the arts in general, and definitely for roots rock and American blues, American country rock, that kind of stuff. You know, in certain countries, they go berserk. Like in Spain, everyone, it's like rock and roll is king, and everyone mm-hmm. wants to party and rock and have fun. Now, in other places like Germany or Poland, they might sit down, and there might even not be any alcohol on the, agenda. They just want to sit and listen and take it all in. And
so they sit there politely?
In some places, okay. Like in Poland and Germany, they wait till the song ends, and then they applaud, and they sit down. Where in other places, like in Spain, where they just go crazy, you know? So
and did you play Barcelona? That's supposed to be a real party, Tom.
Yeah. Barcelona is always a great time. We do really well in Spain. You've had me on shows before when we've done Spanish tours. And, right. We played one time in Barcelona. We played the Poble Español, which is a little downtown venue, and we were the opening group for Government Mule and John Mayall and the Blues Breakers. And the significance to me of that show was very high because when I was 16, I remember seeing John Mayall at the Star Plaza Theater in Merrillville, and I remember it being like a turning point for me saying like, leaving there saying, I'm going to start a blues band. Like, I'm a little rocker, heavy metal teenager, and mm-hmm. I see John Mayall and the Blues Breakers. I actually met him that night at the Star Plaza, and here it was, like, whatever it was, 25 years later, I'm on stage opening for him in Barcelona, Spain.
Did you get a chance to talk to him and tell him that story?
I actually didn't know. I didn't get to meet him. A lot of times when you open for people.
You met him when he was here
yeah.
playing as a fan, but you didn't get to meet him as a tour guide.
Yeah, we snuck backstage that night, actually, in Merrillville, and looked for John Mayall, and we actually found him on the stage. We met the Kinsey Report that night, who have become really good friends of mine in years that have gone by, and they were just hanging out, and we asked, well, where's John Mayall? And he was actually out on the stage rapping chords, putting his keyboard away, putting his amp away, and wow. carrying stuff. And we were completely amazed by that, and he just told us that he didn't want to pay anybody to do it because he didn't want to spend the money or whatnot. Right. So
first time I met John and interviewed him was at Old Chicago, the amusement park.
Oh, I remember that. There. Yeah, I remember that place.
Then he played Secondhand Roses, and I saw him and met him again there and interviewed him. He was an interesting character. It doesn't surprise me when he said, I don't want to pay him. I'm going to wrap the cables myself.
Yeah.
I don't want to say he was tight, but he definitely was frugal, shall we say. Still making records. Still out there.
Now.
He's got, yeah, now. Yeah. He's got to be 80.
I think they celebrated his 80th birthday like 4 or 5 years ago.
Really?
I think so.
Wow.
Yep.
Crazy. I'm surprised that you guys came back unscathed because, you know, John's got an eye and an ear for great guitar players, and Jeff Massey is one of the best I've ever heard.
I was a little afraid of that myself. He might steal him. You never know.
He might. I mean, he's known for that. And another one that you guys played with, a big group that influenced me that are favorites, and that's Kim Simmons and Savoy Brown.
Oh, I love Kim. Yeah. I got a story about Kim, actually.
All right. Share it.
We opened for Kim two times, and the second time he brought Jeff out to play, and they did some John Lee Hooker boogie. I think it was Boom Boom or something. And they had a great jam together. And we were playing in Rochester, New York one night, and there was a knock at the backstage door. And Kim lives there, and he happened to be home. And we opened the door. It was Kim Simmons. And he stopped by and just said, I saw you guys were in town. It's too late for me. I'm with my daughter. We were at the fair today, but I wanted to wish you the best on your performance and come by and say hello. So he came in and hung out with us for a little bit before
Very
we went
cool.
on stage. And we thought that was really cool. Yeah, for sure.
So that had be a big thrill for Jeff.
Yeah, yeah.
European audiences, again, when you're playing there, you're playing festivals many times. You talked about a small club, but you also play these giant festivals, like a Woodstock kind of thing, or Ozfest size, or these big giant arenas and stadiums. How intimidating is that to go on a stage and the people look like ants, basically, other than the past?
Well, we haven't played in front of that many people, but yeah,
there's thousands. Of people.
You just treat it like any other gig. We just go out and try to do our thing, and And, you know, you try to get in the moment and get in the vibe and create the, you know, what you're trying to get across, just like at any show, really.
We're going to play another song. This is one you had picked, Joe. Dance Me a Number. Tell me a story about this.
Well, we recorded this at my brother's house, actually, here in the region in Gary, Indiana. My brother set up shop at a studio. We had lost our record deal and had no money. And so my brother set up a studio in his house and got Pro Tools and read a couple of big books and called me and said, hey, I think we might be able to record the band over here. So we left our house in St. John where we were rehearsing at. We went over to his house and laid down some tracks that we thought might be demos, might be able to help us get another deal. Turned out they ended up getting released on a Revelation Sunday record in 2006. And actually, to date, probably the music that put us on the map and is to this day probably the most popular music that we play live, that we sell. This particular song gets a ton of hits and a ton of plays on Pandora Radio. It's kind of become like our hit song on Pandora Radio. People literally come out to our shows from discovering us, from hearing this song and digging into our other material. And
this is the version you recorded in
the
living room?
This is
the
version that we recorded in my brother's living room in Gary, Indiana, in Miller Beach. And it's probably our most popular song. Has hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube. And, I don't know.
11 years ago, this one was recorded in a living room. Let's listen to it. Let's dance a number on Lake Shore.
Man, in his day the pain won't find.
Dance Me a Number, recorded live in the living room in the hometown of Michael Jackson, Gary, Indiana. Hey, if it's good enough for Michael, it's good enough for the Steve Border Band. Joe Winters, the drummer, co-founder of the band, is with us. That's going back a ways. Joe, we were talking about your trips to Europe and Steve Border Band being together 20 years. In that 20 years that I've known of you guys playing, it seems like you're constantly being asked to open, travel with, or jam with these different famous people, and of all different walks and styles. We talked a little bit about Kim Simmons and Savoy Brown. We talked about John Mayall. We've talked about the Government Mule. You've got to play with these guys. I remember seeing you, and one of the first times that I really swelled with pride, if that's not being too presumptuous, was at House of Blues. I was there with my friend Paul Rogers and Bad Company. I was with our good friend and legal columnist in Midwest Beat, Shelley Harris. And you guys were the opening act. And I didn't even know that you were scheduled to be there. The curtains were closed. And I heard something going on. I thought, gosh, that voice I heard over the little, because we were right by the monitors, it sounded familiar. All of a sudden, the curtains open, and I hear you snapping the drums. And then here's Steepwater Band. I was so proud of you guys, having known you for so long, that here you are in a sold-out show with Bad Company.
And it was packed. Oh,
I was crushed against the stage.
Yeah, it was the kind of show, if you jumped up in the air, you would have stuck. Yeah. You wouldn't have come down.
And you dare not go to the bathroom or get a beer.
No,
you'll never get back.
It was packed. Small, because that's a pretty small club to see the original Bad Company in.
Right.
And it was, I think, all the original guys except for maybe the bass player at the time. I don't remember, but
I know Simon was there. I know the guitar player. I don't remember who was playing bass. I know Howard Leese from Heart's been playing with them lately.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't remember who played bass. But the point is, you were there.
Yeah, we opened the show. That was probably crazy. One of the first really, like, name bands, big shows that we got a chance to do. And that never gets old to this day when we get called to open for anybody, you know, or our own shows, for that matter.
Right.
I have a blast if we're playing a gig, period. But, yeah, that's a lot of fun, for sure.
Now, you also, last time I saw you, in fact, you were playing at Reggie's with Whitford St. Holmes, Derek St. Holmes, old friend. We were there to see him. I'd never met Brad, and so we got to meet Brad Whitford. And, again, we knew on the way up that you were going to be opening, but we didn't know prior to that. And here again, Steepwater Band. And you had the crowd going crazy. They loved you as much or more than they loved Whitford St. Holmes.
Yeah, that was a good one for us, because that's a guitar crowd. You know, I think anytime, like, we've opened for Johnny Winter, Government Mule, Whitford St. Holmes. Anytime it's like a guitar-driven show, people just go crazy, because we got two of the best guitar players you might ever see in your life. And when, you know, like when you discover someone for the first time that maybe you weren't aware of, but could have been, should have been, kind of hits you hard. Like my wife always says that when she sees people see us for the first time, like, she loves being in a crowd and watching people discover us as we're hitting the stage in front of, like, a new audience, you know? So, yeah, it's pretty exciting.
A lot of people kind of dismiss the opening act. And that's a real shame, because, like you said, I've enjoyed many opening acts. Alice Cooper was known for always bringing a good act. Nugent was always known for bringing a good act. You know, sometimes they blow. Let's face it. There's some really bad acts out there that get on the gig because managers are handling them.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, hey, I'm calling it like it is. There's some bands that are mediocre that maybe shouldn't be playing those levels. But there's so many that do deserve to be there and just need to be heard. And you guys certainly among them. And obviously your wife's recognized that by seeing it in the faces of the fans.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. When I go to a concert, I like to go for showtime. Whenever showtime is, I like to be in my seat. I like to be there out of pure, like, respect and curiosity to see what kind of bands are getting these gigs, and a lot of times I enjoy it, you know, like just seeing what other young bands are coming out that I might discover. So yeah, it's a tough gig to open for, like, a big name. I'll tell you, we've had a couple of tough ones that we won them over, but ZZ Top was tough, because
really
those guys have, like, such a diehard fan base of just their fans. So, like, the first five rows were just people, like, staring at the floor, like, why are you taking time right now? I just want my band on, you know? But by the end, We had them, you know.
Where did
we roped
you play
them
with
in.
Them at?
House of Blues.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have thought that would have been a natural band and audience for you.
Well, it was eventually, but okay. they're just hardcore. Like it's like AC/DC. Like their fans like their band, and that's all they like, you know. So, another one that I don't even want to get into the story, but I'll
okay,
real short. Probably was a mismatch billing, and maybe we shouldn't have took the gig. But we opened for Jackal one night out in where was the Pearl Room at?
Moni.
Yeah, and
Mokina, yeah,
great venue,
yeah, it was.
And cool show. But Jackal's fans didn't really appreciate Steepwater for whatever reason. I thought we might bend in. I thought maybe people could appreciate it, but it was kind of a weird one.
It seems the music would be compatible, but you didn't have a chainsaw, and that's what everybody comes for.
There you go, right?
You know, Jesse's
maybe we could have had him come out and play it with us or something. I don't know.
Cut your drums in half. So you've played with a lot of people. You've played with some of the great blues legends, too.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the day you were playing not too far from the studio here, and a legend came downstairs and sat at the piano, Mr. Pinetop Perkins.
Yeah.
And I remember on my other station, which will remain nameless, we played a cut. Someone recorded it, and it's you playing with Pinetop Perkins.
Yes, yeah, floating around.
What was that like?
That, I tell people that was my highest honor of playing music in my life. My number one.
He lived upstairs, and he heard you playing? Is that how the story goes?
Well, that was at a place called Buck's Working Man's Pub that was in La Porte.
Okay.
And he did live upstairs. His manager was Buck that owned the bar. And so he gave Pinetop a place to live upstairs. And Pine did come down and jam with us when we played there. We actually met Pinetop. We were playing at the Madison, Wisconsin Blues Fest, and he was playing that as well. And the first time that he became aware of us, they brought him in and propped him up on the keyboard and said, you know, or asked if they could. And, of course, we said, sure. And he came in and played like three songs with us. And that's the recording that I think we played on your old show.
Right.
And it's floating around somewhere. I got it. Somewhere at home.
I'm going to have to dig that out. I got it somewhere, too. We're going to have to play that.
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to talk about the next big artist that you're going to be playing with in just a couple of weeks here in the Midwest. A true rock legend. In fact, you might say he's a Hall of Famer. We're going to get to that after we remember the Taker. She got a bow with a tongue. Remember the Taken, Steepwater Band. Remember the name, Steepwater Band, and add a .com to it, and you'll find them and keep up with whatever they're doing. That's going back to 2011. Is it Clava?
Yep.
Clava. What's Clava mean, by the way?
It was the name of the studio. It was on the south side of Chicago. It was called Clava Studios. And so we just said, that's a cool name. We should use it.
All right. Joe Winters is my guest. He's the drummer and co-founder of Steepwater Band. And we were talking about all the big names they've worked with, all the continents they've jumped, all the countries they've played for screaming crowds. And you've developed quite a fan base, not only with regular rock fans, but many celebrities and other musicians follow you guys, too. As you mentioned, Kim Simmons in New York popped up at the door. And that said, I want to give a big hello to Ken Peabody, who's listening out in New York. He's on Facebook.
What's
here.
Up, Ken?
Tuning in, saying, I'm listening. You have played with this guy once before, back in 2005 or 6. And you just now officially, Live Nation is allowing us to announce the fact that you are going to be doing a couple of dates with
Bon Jovi.
Yeah! Bon Jovi, one of the biggest names in rock of the last 25 years.
Yeah, they're going in the Hall of Fame. April 14th, and then 12 days later, we're playing a show with them.
And you're playing here in Chicago?
Yep, United Center.
And then you're in Milwaukee?
Yep, at the Bradley Center. And the show at Bradley Center is going to be probably the last show ever in the building. They're ripping it down. They got a new arena built, like, right there at the same site. Okay. So.
And you played with Bon Jovi, as I said, about 12, 13 years ago.
Yep, 2005. They were running a contest at the time. The Loop was sponsoring it, the radio station in Chicago. Dropped off a CD there, got a phone call, got the Saturday night gig opening for those guys.
Okay, you just said that so casual.
Yeah.
Yeah, we dropped the CD off, got the call open for Bon Jovi, went out for breakfast afterwards. You said that so casual. What was it like? I mean, that was a big deal. And who called you? How did you know?
Well, the program director called, but
did you
that was an
him?
Easy, like, there was no, those guys, the guys in the group kind of laughed at me when I was going. They're like, you could just put the CD in, but they're probably not going to pick our band to open for Bon Jovi, like a blues rock band.
Right.
And sure enough, the program director called, said we went through all the submissions and loved your record and want to offer you the Saturday night gig. Gig was great. And we realized quickly that for every, you know, middle-aged housewife type chick fan that was there, she's got to have her dude with her,
right?
Her husband, her boyfriend, whatever. And chances are the dude likes like blues rock and slide guitar and the kind of music that we play. So we ended up going over great. We had a great applause and it was fun.
Now back then, Richie Sambora was still with the group.
Yeah.
And I can imagine he would appreciate what Jeff was doing back then.
Yeah.
Was Eric with you at that time? Eric
no,
Taylor?
We were a three-piece. We did that gig as a three-piece.
Because that I could see the Richie Sambora fans digging you guys, because Jeff's style and his style, I wouldn't say were the same, but they had elements of the sameness.
Yeah, we didn't have a whole lot of contact with him, but his guitar tech, Lumpy was his name. He loved Jeff. He loved Jeff's gear, his sound, his tone, everything Jeff was doing. And so there was a lot of guitar banter going on while we were setting up and sound checking and stuff. But we did meet John and Richie, and they were both very, very pleasant and cool. John was actually overly nice, really cool. Richie was kind of aloof and kind of just said, hey, and good show. All right, cool, good show, later.
See you later.
Yeah, that was it.
All right, so obviously you're doing two dates. When are the dates, and are they on your website already?
Yeah, it's April 26th at the United Center in Chicago, and April 29th at the Bradley Center in Milwaukee, pending the Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks are in the playoffs, and I guess they made a rain date, an indoor gig with a rain date. If the Bucks have a playoff game that night, they're moving the show to Monday, April 30th.
But you'll still be on it?
Yes, we're on it either way.
Okay. We've got another date we want to talk about, the big 20th anniversary party this weekend, and we're going to play it, or we're going to talk about it in just a second. But right now, let's go back to the latest album for a short run off the Shake Your Faith album. This is Be As It May. We'll be back a final time with Joe Winters.
One of these days you'll look for me and I will not be there. I'll be riding the rails in a dream somewhere. One of these times you'll call my name and I won't seem to care. I'll be setting my sails from a moonlit shore.
Shake Your Faith, an album that came out from the Steepwater Band 2016, and that has actually got some airplay, and it's a video, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a video for it. We filmed it in Europe, on tour in Europe in 2017,
okay.
And then the video came out.
Was Vim working with you then?
Who?
Was Vim?
Oh, Vim was there, yeah, when we filmed the video. Yeah,
so he's probably
there.
Dancing in the Netherlands right now as we play that.
Yeah, probably.
At 3 a.m. All right, you've got two other things we do need to talk about. And one, of course, we've mentioned several times tonight, it's the 20th anniversary of the Steepwater Band. You are celebrating it officially with a big party this Friday in Chicago at Martyrs. What is the game plan? What makes this show so special?
Well, we just wanted to get everybody together and, you know, all our fans and friends and family and say, hey, we've been after this for 20 years and let's celebrate and play some music from all the eras. So we're going to play some of the early stuff and some of the later stuff and some of the stuff in between. And,
did you have to go back and learn some of these old songs again for this? Because you got a lot of music out there.
We know about 6.5-7 hours worth of music. Last year we did 2 shows back-to-back sold out in Barcelona in clubs where we played 3 hours, 2.5 hours one night, 3 the next, and didn't repeat a song.
Wow. And they were all your songs?
We did a few cover songs, like some Stones or Bob Dylan or whatever. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly. So the songs from the old eras, we know them. But, yeah, we're brushing up on a couple things, I think.
Okay. We mentioned that the three of you have been together 20 years. Now, Eric Saylor, we've mentioned Jeff as a great guitar player. Eric, also an amazing guitar player. Also backup singer, too. Right?
Yeah, he does really vocals. Good harmony singer. Yeah.
How did Eric fall into the mix real quick? We got to give him a shout out.
How did he fall in?
Yeah.
We met him on tour. He was in a band called the Healing Sixes.
I remember them. We were with Bonham.
Yeah, Jason Bonham was the drummer. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And we started doing some shows. Jason had left their band to be in Foreigner at the time, and they got another drummer, kept going. met us on tour. We were doing some shows together and just kind of hit it off with him. We'd have him up to jam and we'd ask him to do some cover songs. And he would say, no, I want to do your songs. And we, okay, sure. Yeah, I know him. Go, you know, and he would jump in on our tunes and he really complimented what we were doing. And like you said earlier, he fit the mix so well, just with his whole vibe, his sound, his the way
look,
he looks,
everything. Yeah. And he's like a, you know, a twin son from somebody.
Yeah,
out
we
there.
Created him on our computer, like they do everything else these days, right?
He's a 3D imprint.
Yeah.
How long ago did he join?
2000, January of 12, I want to say, six years ago.
And so he's the new guy, but he's not new.
No, not anymore.
Now, he writes as well.
Yeah.
How has his presence impacted the sound and the change?
The same way we all do, really. Okay. He just brought riffs and sounds and ideas to the table, and Jeff wrote melodies over them, just like he would with Todd or me, my drum beats, whatever, you know? Okay. We just told him, don't hold back, play what you're feeling, and we'll make a song out of it. And we did. There's several songs on two or three on Shake Your Faith where he was the main writer to the music that he brought forward, and we finished the tune.
Okay. And we've mentioned Todd Bowers, who you've been with since high school, basically, making music. He is your yin to your yang. You're the rhythm section of this group. As a drummer, the bass player is usually your closest compadre.
Yeah.
What is it that makes Todd and you work?
It's like we know what each other are going to play before we play it. I don't know how else to explain it. It's like we base our fills and our grooves and our timing. Probably for the fact that we've been playing together for 25 years plus. We've been in three or four groups before this group that we were in together. And, you know, we shared apartments together when we were young and played in bands and just liked the same bands and just kind of ran around together. And it's my best friend and has been since then. And proud to say we're still playing together all these years later.
And on that note, you told me something off air, and I want to make it real clear to the fans that this is not a negative thing. You're going to take a short break.
Yeah. We've been working really hard for a long time, and I think we deserve a break. None of us have had a summer to ourselves, to our families, our friends, in 20-plus years. So after 300 shows behind Shake Your Faith and several European tours and really busting it hard, we are going to go on what we're calling a indefinite hiatus, but in the process we'll probably write some music and try to get ourselves prepared for 2019 and what might happen, you know, once we get a group of new songs and try to get them recorded and get back on the horse next year. But yeah, we're going to take a break. It is a break, not a breakup. And we're just going to catch our breath and regroup and plan for the future.
And you certainly deserve it. And we'll see you in April with Bon Jovi. We'll see you this Friday at Martyrs with Handcuffs, which is Brad Elvis's group.
Awesome band. Super good friends.
So come early. One of those bands that we keep talking about that you don't want to miss because they're the opening act. You're going to love them. And keep up with Steepwater at steepwaterband.com, correct?
Steepwater.com.
Steepwater.com.
Yeah, I think so.
And on Facebook, Steepwater.
Yep, Steepwater Band on Facebook.
There you go. I had them backwards. Yep. Joe Winters, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Tom, and thanks for all your support over
Break
the years.
Break a leg, and now that you're going to take some time off, I want to see you more.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right. All right, we're going to leave you with Indiana Line, and this is Steepwater Band. Adios, everybody.
That love wash over me like a frozen Bible for the tree.